This is Warrior Sound Live.
Here comes Curry. Step back off the dribble three. Are you kidding me?
Here's Lawrence Scott.
Hey, thank you. Lawrence Scott here with Tim Roy and Warriors assistant coach and director of player development, Chris DeMarco. Chris, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thanks for having me.
You know, when you think about the time that you've been with the Warriors, it all goes back to even your playing days as a player for the Dominican University team in San Rafael and Marin County. From that time period, you find your way to the Warriors in the video scouting department. But just before that, as I understand it, it was a connection you had with a former teammate, John Fahey, who was on the Warriors staff, that kind of led to an introduction to the Warriors. And now a big, big opportunity with this team, as we've seen championships. But kind of take us back to how it came together.
Yeah, I was finishing up grad school, so I actually came out to California to get my MBA at Dominican. So I had 1 year left, so I played that 1 year, and I was actually in data storage. So I was working in tech, and one of my friends who I played college basketball with in Wisconsin had been with the Clippers, and he got a part-time job in the video room with the Warriors. And we've always stayed in touch. I started going to play pickup with those guys. So I got to know the front office a little bit. I got to know the former coaching staff a little bit. And that's kind of how that relationship started. And when an internship opened up with the Warriors, it was basically between me and someone else who I knew. And in the end, person I knew actually tore their ACL in a men's league game. And I think that the organization, the staff preferred an intern who could come in and be on the floor and move around. So ultimately, I didn't know if I was going to do it, and that's kind of how it broke.
What I want to know is if I was a coach of a team that you're playing against on a snowy night, the night before the game in Wisconsin, and I'm looking at the scouting report of the other team, and when I get to Chris DeMarco, what does that scouting report say?
I don't know if you've been watching the Jordan documentary, but probably more like just mucking the game up like the Pistons did. You know, like I enjoyed the game within the game and the physicality and that kind of play. I'm going to go rebound, get some cheap baskets, get to the free throw line.
So the players that you help in this player development role, I mean, we've seen this evolve over the years. Some of the workouts post-practice you're doing with Klay Thompson, and there have been players that you've been able to really help develop. But specifically with the player development role, who are some of the guys you've taken under your wing, and what are some of those relationships, and how do you help players develop?
Yeah, Every coach has an impact, I believe. It doesn't matter if your role is player development or you're front of the bench or you're in the video room, performance team. We all have contact with the guys, and we can all help them in some way. And from the time I got in the video room, whether it was rebounding, playing defense, passing the ball, being an extra guy, whatever it is, you kind of form that bond with players. And, you know, there's always things you can find strengths and weaknesses with guys. You know where they need to improve on the floor, but sometimes it's the behind the scenes stuff. It's the film work. It's talking the game through. It's keeping in touch with guys like, hey, did you see the Bucks game last night? What did you think of how this guy played? And all that stuff kind of pulls together. It's not just on court work. And so that's kind of my favorite thing about the job is just how collaborative it is as a staff and with each player trying to help them grow. As far as specific players, again, like I feel like myself and everyone on staff, we touch all the guys on the court with our voice and then being out there. And if we can participate and be active and get through drills with them with that too. So,
Chris, in your 8 years, even the development part of it has changed a lot. You mean, you guys are using laptops, you know, on the bench during warmups to show players film. Talk about the difference between when you first started with the Warriors and now in terms of the philosophy of development and how you implement that.
Yeah, just I think when I first started, it was actually when that first started to happen, the having the laptops and being able to watch film with guys. But it allows for, as staffs have grown and video rooms have shifted toward, you know, younger guys who really, really are using the coaches. And I think it's just, again, a collaborative effort. So if I don't have the time, if I have to prepare us for the Portland Trailblazers and I'm doing more of the X's and O's stuff in that sense, then a video guy is now able to pull aside Looney and show him film on what maybe I don't have time to. And so I think as staffs have grown, we've had more resources, and that kind of builds on the development of players.
You know, it's interesting when you think of the next generation of coaches. We have seen several successful NBA coaches, Eric Spoelstra, Mike Brown, this sort of thing, with backgrounds in video coaching. And then you think of the technology that's necessary here for helping assist in this learning process with players and showing them progression and showing them examples. When you think of what it is to advise the next generation of coaches, what are some of the things that you would encourage them to look into so that they're technologically proficient?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's certain programs that, and that's part of the internship, your first year in, that you learn these programs. My biggest thing with anybody who wants to coach in the NBA is just trying to get your foot in the door. And then being able to learn the software. Obviously, if there's some things you can do beforehand, and you can help out current interns, but it's just getting in, and then from there you can kind of grow into that role. But the tools are there. There's a software we use called Sports Code, and you know, anyone who asks me, I always tell them to check into that. And you know, I think most MBA and college programs at this point use that. But more than anything, it's just learning the game. The NBA game is so different than college basketball or high school basketball, FIBA, any of that. So it's just learning the terminology. And again, once you're in, you just absorb everything you can and just continue to grow.
We should let people know that Chris DeMarco is actually the head coach of the Bahamian national team. During this period when you've been sheltered in place like the rest of us, have you had a chance to check in with some of your international players?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been one of the projects I've been working on, is just making sure I stay in touch with everyone and keep in touch with the coaches as well, and just continue to build what we have going there. And it's FIBA is so different in terms of how the schedule works. I mean, if you can look at the Bahamas national team, for example, and you see, you know, Buddy Hield, DeAndre Ayton, guys like that, well, they aren't always able to play. You know, we have games in February, we have games in November, and that's during the NBA season. So it's important to kind of grow your youth and keep building your first level, second level, third level players, and kind of find that chemistry, because you never know who's going to be able to play. Some teams don't let their players out. Some teams have tournaments going on when the competitions are. So I've used this time a little bit to just reach out to all the players, all the coaches, and just kind of build that bond.
One of those players, too, the brother of Klay Thompson, a Santa Cruz Warrior from the past, Michael Thompson, Klay's brother, and his role in this, too. Very interesting. A very fun thing to also continue with this family relationship, right, Chris?
Yeah, we got Michael Thompson out of retirement to go play in Mexico, which was great. He's a really, really smart player. He played a year in the league, obviously played for Santa Cruz, and he's just one of those guys who knows the game, and he's another coach out on the floor, so it helped us tremendously. And it was interesting, Mexico's in our group with USA and Puerto Rico, and these are the games you need to win. If you finish top three out of the four in the group, you then qualify for the AmeriCup, which would then get you to the World Cup. And the AmeriCup games are played in the summer, so then all your best players can be there. So these games are really important. And Michael came back out of retirement and played. And it was funny because we played Mexico, and Juan Toscano-Anderson had just signed with us a few days before that tournament was to begin. So it's actually, It was one of those things where, hey, we got Juan on the Warriors, and it also helped the Bahamas because now we're not competing against him in Mexico.
Chris, what lessons from working the 8 years in the NBA do you think are helping you become a better head coach than maybe you would be if you were somewhere else? What have you learned the last 8 years and maybe the last a few years under Steve Kerr that's helping you as a head coach?
Yeah. It doesn't matter what level it's at. It's about managing relationships with players and coaches, and there's so much more that goes into it than X's and O's, and that's probably the biggest thing that I've learned. To add to that, I just think going to the finals 5 years in a row, the type of preparation we've gone through in each series, and to get more in detail with each opponent and player on that team, it's high level strategy that you get to be a part of and learn that it can only benefit you later on in terms of looking back and like, oh, well, this is how we defended Kyrie, this is how we defended Kawhi, I remember this situation is like in the 17 playoffs, you know, all that stuff is so beneficial.
Joined by Warriors assistant coach Chris DeMarco. And Chris is a native of Appleton, Wisconsin. I've always wondered, just life growing up in Appleton in Wisconsin. I'm just finishing now When Pride Still Mattered. It's a book that I kind of started and put away. It's a huge book. It's about Vince Lombardi's time with the Green Bay Packers, but it's very evocative of that area in Wisconsin. But growing up there, the sports scene there, what got you into basketball, and then on your way out, as you explained in the beginning of this interview, to the Bay Area and Marin County to play at Dominican, what were some of the things that you grew up with in Wisconsin as it relates to basketball?
Yeah, sports are huge there in the Midwest as a whole. And my dad was a football and basketball coach, so it's my two older brothers played, and that's they pushed me. It's kind of how I grew up in a sports family. Green Bay is obviously 20, 25 minutes away. So the Packers are huge there. And it's kind of how the Midwest is in a way. Is, you know, the weather, you don't have the beach, you don't have the 80 degrees. So, you know, you can always get in the gym, and people love the game, specifically basketball. And we were just always playing. Getting brought up in just such a competitive place, and you know, Dick Bennett coached there, and then Bo Ryan, and it's just very fundamental heavy. And you know, I think it helped me kind of mold this passion that I have for the game.
As you look at that, your dad's a coach, and obviously you've mentioned the two coaches for the university. Who are your, say, top five most influential coaches for you?
Top five most influential coaches
for you that influence
for
you?
Me. Yeah. I mean, I'd definitely say my father, Sal. He was, and I can still hear him yelling at me to this day. He was a New Yorker, growing up in Appleton, my dad coming from New York, probably something a lot of people there hadn't seen. So he was intense on the sideline. And back then people weren't shooting threes. So everything, like every time we put a shot up, he's just screaming at us to get back in the paint, get back within the three-point line. And so transition defense, I can still hear him yelling at me, was massive. And just the way he pushed people, the way he pushed me, was huge to kind of find that foundation. We have basements in Wisconsin. So we'd be in the basement working on ball handling drills. And, you know, my dad was one of those guys who was always inclusive, always had friends over, always competing. So that was big for me. And my high school coach, Lee Rubbis, very, very, very fundamental footwork. We worked on the basics every day. I take a lot from him even now in terms of just the preparation, how the details matter. And then obviously coming to the NBA, with being under Mark Jackson and Mike Malone, Luke Walton, Alvin Gentry, like we've had a lot of head coaches, that I've gotten to learn from, And then Steve Kerr now, obviously, has been really instrumental. I mean, we talked about it earlier, just his relationship and, you know, his messaging has been big for me.
Chris, so well put. What a great trip down memory lane, hearing not just those names of the recent memory with relating to the Warriors' success that we've had, but just also your story and learning more about where you're coming from and what you're bringing. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, I appreciate you guys having me. Tim Roy, for those of you that don't know, sends our coaching staff emails with a lot of numbers and different things we can use going into games. So we always talk about how great that information is, and it helps us prepare for games.
I appreciate that, man. I love helping you guys out.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Lawrence. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Chris.
See ya.
This has been Warriors Sound Live.
Right side three. Got it!